Great, great. Thank you, Jason. Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. I realized that I titled this talk about 6 months ago, and it sounds way more threatening than what I hope it actually is. I'm Rob Bushman. I'm from UTMB. I'm a graduate student in population health science. And what this presentation is really about is the relationship between neighborhood quality, perceived stress, and allostatic load. Do my required slide here. I have no relationships to disclose, unfortunately. So a little bit of background, and I'm not going to go too far into this, but I'm just some simple statements. So increased allostatic load has been linked in multiple studies to poor health. Allostatic load is a measure, usually using biological or clinical markers, of what's going on in your body. If you have, the way that we often define it is looking at biomarkers or other clinical measures. So I've listed the ones that we used up here today and put them sort of in categories. So cardiovascular, metabolic, and inflammatory, immune, and other. So what we use these for often is sort of to see what kind of burden somebody is under. If you are high or in high risk for a lot of these, the idea is that your body is under a great burden of sort of biological stressors. And there is some evidence that lower quality neighborhoods are associated with increased allostatic load. If you couldn't tell, increased allostatic load is sort of bad. And then one proposed mediator between neighborhoods and health is stress. So this is sort of the way that neighborhood characteristics get translated into health or allostatic load. Is perceived stress or other ways, sort of psychological stress. So the overall idea here is that living in lower quality neighborhoods might affect health because living there just stresses us out. This is a picture of what I was talking about. This is from Diaz-Ruin Mayer in 2010. And really what we're looking at is sort of the right side of this, those the big boxes in the middle, neighborhood physical environments, neighborhood social environments. There's a little box over there, we call those mediators, behavioral mediators, and stress. So what we're looking at here is stress. So there's two fairly simple hypotheses here. One is that increased neighborhood quality will be associated with decreased individual allostatic load among neighborhood residents. Very simple direct effect. And the second hypothesis is any relationship that we see in the first hypothesis will be mediated, so reduced wholly in part by perceived stress. And we're going to look at these using information from the Texas City Stress and Health Study. So what's that? The Texas City Stress and Health Study is part of an NIH-funded P50 grant. It was done in Texas City, Texas, which is just north of where I am in Galveston. It is a small city that is bounded on at least one side, depending on where you live, with industry, which in southeast Texas near the coast, you imagine it's refineries. Many of the people in Texas City live in close proximity to these refineries and industry. The survey itself included multiple measures of stress, acculturation, environmental risk perception, and health, and what we'll be looking at, which is allostatic loads, as sort of objective or biological markers of health. It was an in-person survey with an oversample of Hispanic and older individuals, and then about half had agreed to have a blood sample taken and have a clinical measurement of things like blood pressure and a few others. So how did we construct these? We had the 13 measures that I showed you before, and as is often done with allostatic load, we looked at each one of these and determined which was the highest risk quartile. So for every one of the 13, you basically get a 0 or a 1 if you're in the highest risk 25% based on the people who are in the survey. So this isn't a clinical measure. This is a measure based on the actual survey that we had. We add those up to give you a score that theoretically can range from 0 to 13. In our study, it was 0 to 12. Higher, more load, that's bad. The predictors that we had for neighborhood quality actually are things that we don't see very often. We had 6 census tracts, but we actually subdivided them into 48 different neighborhoods. And this was done using a combination of qualitative GIS and on-the-ground observations, which translates to We had people walk around these neighborhoods and see where's the logical boundaries for these things. There's a road right here, there's a physical boundary right there. So these are a little more on the ground informed neighborhoods. And then we had three measures of neighborhood quality: subjective, which is a perceived neighborhood scale, and observed. So the same folks that were going around determining where the neighborhood stopped were actually going through and looking at things like bars on the windows, trash on the ground, trying to sort of characterize these neighborhoods and call that an observed measure. And then an objective measure, which was constructed from census data about the socioeconomic status of the neighborhood. The perceived stress, whether we're stressed out or not, was Cohen's 10-item perceived stress scale, range 0 to 39, so higher for that, more stress, and then a series of covariates. The way that we did this was sort of stepped through models. So I'm not going to go too far into this, but basically the first model was just looking at our first hypothesis. Second model was looking at the second hypothesis with nothing else added in. The third one added in demographics, and the fourth is what I call the kitchen sink model. So we threw everything else that we had in there. We did all of these models with multi-level linear logistic and ordinal regression using Stata 14. And what to me was remarkable is it really didn't matter which model we used. We got the same results. Quick descriptive statistics here, about 60% female, a little more diverse in terms of race and ethnicity than we often see in populations. And then you see our mean allostatic load about 3 with the full range from 0 to 12. We did some bivariate analysis, which is essentially just looking to see if the things that we hope are related are actually related. And what those numbers and bullet points say is, yeah, they are. So we can sort of move forward. I'm not going to go too far into this. This is a multiple linear regression. It's the easiest one to interpret because they all kind of said the same thing. The model one, and I think the easiest thing right here is to sort of follow the stars. I know these are kind of small, but model one, you can see that for perceived neighborhood quality, there is a relationship between that and allostatic load, and it's a negative one, which is what we expect. When we add in perceived stress, that goes down a little bit, not a whole lot, and then perceived stress is not actually significant in that model, which worries me. And then when we put demographics in, we see that neighborhood perception and its relationship to allostatic load goes away. And then the full model, you can see it's also gone. I also wanted to point out something that we're going to explore a little further in our research, which is income stays significant in these things. So there's something going on here with individual income. And then I'm going to pop through. The stars are the same. So this is observed neighborhood quality, and this is neighborhood SES. Again, stars are the same. So what does this tell us? It tells us that, yes, our first hypothesis to some extent is confirmed, that higher neighborhood quality is associated with lower allostatic load, unadjusted. When you put other factors in it, it does disappear, but not the factor that we hoped, and this is hypothesis two, that perceived stress doesn't really affect this in Texas City. So either in unadjusted or adjusted models. So based on what we saw before with the theories that we were looking at and what we expected to find, this is unusual. It's not what we expected to find. So in this study of Texas City, the theory of perceived stress mediating effects in neighborhood was not supported. So maybe it goes through something else. This finding did hold across differing definitions of neighborhood quality. So we had the three definitions of neighborhood quality and different ways of examining allostatic loads. So the different models that I used, they actually divided it into a 0-1, divided it into three levels, divided it into four levels. This pattern held. There are some limitations to this. This is a cross-sectional study. We just have one wave, so it's hard to figure out what directions the arrows are going. And there were a couple of confounders that I thought might have been relevant for this but weren't included, maybe most significantly medications. So a lot of people with, say, high blood pressure, you'd get a 1 in allostatic load for high blood pressure. I don't know whether they were on medication for that. Often that's not always used, but it tells you sort of how well controlled they are. We also didn't have diet to control for. So where do we go from here? So as you saw, there's some additional work that suggests that individual income plays some role in this story. We're still figuring out what role that is. Maybe it's a mediator, although that story doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We did test it in the same way as perceived stress, the regression models that you saw, and it came out the way that we hoped perceived stress would. So we're going to keep poking around there. There's some thoughts that maybe this is what you call sort of a buy a bigger guard dog effect. We can test and look at that, which is there something about living in a neighborhood where within a certain neighborhood, higher income makes a difference. So you can do something to reduce your stress from that neighborhood. Or maybe it's simply a composition effect where we see income determining both where you live and your allostatic load. So that's something that's often discussed in neighborhood research. There's a couple of other places that we can go with this. We have a variable that asks people how long they've lived in their neighborhood. So we have, to some extent, it's a cross-sectional study, but we have a sense of how long people have been sort of exposed to their neighborhood. We're thinking about using that in a way to sort of tighten our findings. And we actually have some other high-quality stress measures available in this data set. We have a daily hassle scale. We have an in-house perceived risk of hazards from industry scale. We have a life events in the past year scale, all of which we're gonna look at. I like to perceive stress because that's one of my favorite ones, and it's sort of a nice all-inclusive one. But it's possible that some of these other measures of stress and coping, we have a few of those as well, might have something to do with the fact that we just didn't find much of a relationship here. So I just wanted to thank my advisor, Dr. Kristen Peek, and then the other professors that helped me on this, Dr. Proska and Dr. Eschbach, and acknowledge that support for this work was from my T32 grants and the P50 that supported the Texas Stress and Health Study. So thank you very much.
We have time for a few questions. Are there any questions for Rob? Not at all.
So I can wait until later. Hey. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's one of the things that we're thinking, you know, in light of this is sort of let's go back and hammer back on theory a little more and say, okay, so maybe it's not, maybe perceived stress and allostatic load are kind of getting at the same thing, and maybe we should look at them separately. And so that, I mean, that is one thing to think about. We were also thinking about using something other. We have a few other non-objective health measures in the study that we were thinking about doing a similar, you know, what if we use allostatic load in a different way and look at whether somebody had has been diagnosed with a heart attack or has been diagnosed with stroke or something like that. So yeah, it's to some extent it's moving the boxes around, but it's really important moving the boxes around. So.